There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Another hour and easy to get in touch with us. 343-0106 for a phone call or a text. 343-0106. And in addition, if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is easy to get, by the way, if you're an iPhone user, just go to the App Store. If you're a cool Google Android using dad, like me, I say this because I just turn the toothpick in my daughter's side when I do this. If you're that guy, you go to Google Play, either place, go find FM Talk 106.5. That's our app. You'll see the logo, download it, and enjoy it. But one of the features there, too, amongst all the others on a kind of a, it's like a Leatherman, like a multi-tool for your phone. But one of the things you can do, in addition to calling and texting, if you press that microphone icon, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. All right, so check those out. And good to see my friend Colleen DeVoe from Coastal HR back in studio. And it's one of those things that when I think about it, it is a harbinger of things to come. First of all, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
This time of year, I told everybody you're coming in because you're not coming in to announce that it's Halloween coming up at the end of next month. It's something else happening here. What brings you in?
I'm in here because
get you a little closer to that mic.
It's time to talk about insurance, usually at the end of the year.
I thought it was candy corn and stuff.
Well, people tend to think about at the end of the year, I need to look at what I've enrolled in for the year and do I want to keep what I have for the next year. And so most companies that offer insurance have an open enrollment period in the month of October, maybe even into November for some. And some people just let that come and go and they don't really look at their insurance.
Well, okay. And I think the reason why, and this is one of the great things about working with y'all, is I could be defined as that person. Right, that I've got other things in my head. There's too much paperwork, but to be able to call y'all, you put it in Sullivanese for me. You can tell me, okay, well, if this one kind of means more of this, and here's what, because I think that's what a lot of us need. I mean, could we sit down, I guess, and pore over all the documents? Sure, but we're busy being butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, not professionals on insurance.
Well, exactly. And that's why a company like Coastal HR taking care of your benefits for you allows you to be able to do that, because you can just call me and I can tell you whatever you need. If you need an insurance card, you need information on what you're covered by, who your insurance is, having someone in town who can just take care of that for you so you can run your business.
No, it's saved my butt before here on the cards thing. You know, you helped me so much with my daughter, but also being able to say, does it cover, instead of calling you and saying, can you give me chapter and verse of something, I can call you and say, does it cover this or what's the deductible with that?
Correct.
You can explain it. What Colleen, she'll just tell you in regular language.
Yes, because I do spend a good bit of my day poring over those benefits so that I know what's covered and not covered and can have things at my fingertips to be able to give you if you need to make a claim on one of your policies.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, the biggest question you get asked is what on the by businesses, like the insurance question they ask most, is this covered or deductible or this plan? Like what?
The biggest question I get is, do I have insurance?
Well, okay, that's fair. Listen, there's a lot of us that don't think about it until we need to think about it.
Until they need it.
Yeah.
And I have had people call me absolutely sure that they're on our insurance, but they've never paid a deduction, never looked at their paycheck, And then all of a sudden they're sick and they're like, why don't I have this insurance?
Yikes.
But that's what we're here for. We're here to tell them how you get it and what the plan is to be able to get you enrolled. And if you miss the boat, there's open enrollment every year to be able to get you back on the plan or qualifying events.
Yeah, and those, this is like life change.
If a qualifying event would be the government decides that. So it can be if you get married, you need to add a spouse to your plan.
Right.
You get divorced, you need to drop a spouse off your plan.
Right.
Maybe a death of a covered member. Or you may have a dependent who is on your, or maybe was on a spouse's insurance, and they're getting off of that plan, then that's a qualifying event that you can get them on your plan as well.
You know, one of the things that, and I probably am going to be very narrow to my experience with y'all, but it may bring up ideas for other people. Y'all got me started on this this card this year, right, for prescriptions and the.
Are you talking about the GAP plan card?
No, I go in and I use this against my prescriptions.
The flexible spending.
Spending thing. So, did I know this was a thing? I had heard of it in like a news story before, but until, because I just said, do I need this thing?
Yes, you need flexible spending.
And I've enjoyed it. It's good.
Well, the great thing about it is it allows you to budget for those unexpected medical expenses that come in during the year. You know, sometimes medical expenses could be like a $500 unexpected expense. But if you can forecast what you think you might need for the year, put that in your flexible spending account. So it's coming out of your check pre-tax.
That's thing, pre-tax,
all year. Yeah.
And I was I did the thing. It's funny. I like talk about if you go to, it's the flip side, but if you go to like Mike Ward's Liberty Safes and find the safe you think you need, Mike always said buy one twice as big, and he's always been right. In this case, here's the amount you can put in there. Right. I was worried, so I went small. I ran through that fairly quickly. I know that when I adjust, I'm going to raise that amount.
Oh, yeah. I put in the max every year.
But I didn't know. So at first, I don't know how much I'll use. And yeah, you're right. Put in the
Well, and you do need to be a little bit conservative because there are restrictions as far as if you don't use it by the end of the year, you lose it. But you can carry over a certain amount into the next year.
That's what I'm trying. What I've done here is I've underestimated, but now I'm keeping notes. So this year I can say, okay, this is kind of what reality is.
Right. And the maximum for this year was $3,300 a year. Mm-hmm. The government decides that
I was
max.
Not close to that, y'all.
Oh, I blew through it by March.
Well, I wasn't close to it, but I blew through the smaller amount I had pretty quickly. Because
right.
I have dependents and, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's what you don't count on is your dependents.
Mm-hmm.
We'll use it.
They know how to spend money.
Dentist. Yes, they do. They need eyeglasses. They need dental visits. Just unexpected things that come up.
On a weekly basis, Colleen.
Exactly. And it comes with a debit card. So you don't even have to file the
Right. So, I got this card and I hand this over when I go pick up prescriptions. Mm-hmm. And then you get then you can have the receipts, but you have this all together in one place. It's a good thing. I'm going to say just, a single dad kind of thing, it's a good thing with a couple
of
dependents.
It really is. And a lot of people don't understand how it works, so they tend to just say, no, I'm not going to sign up for that.
And I hadn't until I talked to you all about it. That's what I'm getting at. That's why I like the regular language part of it, because I knew it was a thing, but I maybe didn't devote enough time to searching through it and figuring it out, and now...
Yeah.
Now I know, and I was like, oh yeah, this seems like it makes sense.
No, it's a great thing, especially when you know the rules.
Yeah, well, that's why we have y'all to know
the rules. Is that if you don't use it, you lose it. But if you preload that money on there, and then you leave that job, as long as the expenses are dated before the day you leave that job, you can use all that money.
Okay, so y'all, this is one of the questions you need to ask and make sure it's right for you. Also, I mean, and I keep focusing, and it is that open enrollment period, so we're focused on insurance, but 12 months of the year, y'all are, doing our HR for us,
yes.
which I appreciate, because I know you would look at me and think I was an HR genius, but you'd be wrong. And
nope.
It's good to have y'all. It's good to have y'all doing that. And, people often think, well, I got to have a giant business before I have somebody doing my HR. But y'all, we're small business here, and it was taking a lot of time. It probably more hours than it warranted.
Oh, absolutely. We have some clients that just have one employee, and their accountants have recommended that they use a payroll company.
So y'all will take somebody that just has, I mean, I didn't know, ever ask what the minimum number of employees was.
We can take a client that only has themselves as the employee, but for sure one or two employees. Having a payroll company that offers insurance helps you bring in the better employee that mm-hmm. is looking for that insurance, what will stay with you longer if you're able to offer them more than just an hourly rate.
No, listen, we're going to have a, not to be morbid here, but probably have a cemetery out here because everybody stays here forever, which I like. You know, my folks stay here, we'll just take you right outside. And on the insurance plan, before we wrap up, you know, I think about this. When I look at it each year, and you have the different levels, mm-hmm. okay? I think they make, you know, they sell more medium drinks at fast food than any other size drink. Because I don't want a small, that's enough, but large is too much. Let me take a medium. I kind of defaulted to that in the past on insurance. Just said, well, whatever the medium one is, but that's not always the right decision.
No.
Right? I mean,
no, actually, you
have
choices.
It can cost you more to take the medium sometimes than take the large. Like,
exactly.
I had to learn that.
If you are someone that does not have a lot of medical expenses,
right,
then you don't want to pay for the low deductible plan because you're going to pay more in premiums every month and you may not even need that deductible plan.
Because that scares people off too, because you'll hear them go, well, what's the deductible? But then you're thinking about it in the body of a year, how much are you going to actually,
right.
How many times are you going?
Right, right. And you know, if you don't go to the doctor very much or not very sickly, a high deductible plan is the way to go because it's a much lower premium out of your pocket. And chances are you're not even going to nowhere meet that deductible.
Right.
That's where you have your flexible spending account to help you take care of those doctor's appointments.
See, this is the education you get. And truly, it's being able to get on the phone with Colleen or others at Coastal HR and get it put in like regular language. That's what we appreciate.
Yes. We spend a lot of money on insurance premiums in this
country.
Got that right. A lot of people look at the payment. How much is it going to cost me per weekly paycheck or per monthly paycheck? But if you do the math on how much does it cost you at the end of the year and just paying to go to the doctor, you might find it's cheaper to just pay the bill than to pay those really high premiums. So go with the cheapest insurance you can get unless you really feel like you need that low deductible plan because you have illness that's a recurring expense.
So people can call you and just like, well, I
absolutely.
Know this, and just say, here's my situation. And you can kind of say, well, this might be, I don't have to know the language. I can just say, here's what I am. Here's what I'm doing. And you can say, maybe look at this plan over that plan.
Well, and I can't give them advice on what to choose, but a lot of people that come in when I go over benefits with them don't understand what a premium is versus a deductible versus an out-of-pocket maximum. And I can
the
at
third
least
one I don't even
this.
Know.
Right. The out-of-pocket maximum was how much do you keep paying before the insurance finally says we'll pay 100% of the cost?
Yeah, I need to know that. Yeah.
You do need to know that. And I have had a medical expense where I reached that out-of-pocket maximum, and it was higher than I thought it would be.
So, well, get educated here. So people want to get in touch with you. How do they do that?
They can call us here at the office. It's 251-478-7444. Just ask for Colleen in the Human Resources Department. And I love to talk about insurance all day long.
I know. It's amazing she does, but she's not fibbing. She does. And it's good to see you again.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Tell your daughter I said hi.
I will.
All right. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have y'all here, and always good to check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Before he talks to all of us, I get to talk to him, ask him tractor questions a couple times a week. Blaine, glad to have you on. And let's talk some skid steers here because you got y'all stocked up with them right now.
We do, Sean. Right now we got the 75 SVL 75-3 as well as the SVL 97-3s. The 97-3s are new this year. We've got both of those models in stock in open cab, as well as the enclosed cab with the high flow option on them, to be able to run the brush cutters, the forestry mulchers. And with people going to the hunt camps this time of the year, they're wanting to make new food plots, maybe some new shooting lanes. And not only do we sell them, we rent them too. So really a hot topic right now.
Yeah, I mean, it, like used them before, all the things you said, plus keeping your roads open. I mean, the days of loppers and a machete and sweating to death, you get a lot done with the, you know, the high flow.
You can get a lot done, but we've also got all the other attachments in stock as well. The grapples, the forks, and like I said, the mulchers and brush cutters, they all come with buckets on them. But if you want to add some other options to them, we can do that as well.
Okay. Also, just a quick reminder, y'all, this is something that was started really, you were doing when we had 3-day weekends. And then it was obviously very popular about people, you know, doing the math and going, okay, if I can rent this piece of equipment and get more time out of it, this is good. You're doing this now. It doesn't have to be a 3-day weekend. Explain this.
Correct. So in our rental fleet, everything qualifies that's in our rental fleet for the weekend. Come in, rent it on Friday afternoon, sometime after lunch, take it. Use it over the weekend, bring it back to us Monday morning by 10 a.m. As long as you keep 10 hours or less on the machine, you'll only be charged for one day instead of two. Normally, in the past, it's been charged for Saturday and Sunday. Well, as long as you keep less than 10 hours on it, you'll only be charged for one day, but have it from Friday afternoon up till Monday morning.
Good stuff. All right. Tell folks how they find you online and then just in person, too, so they can check out the machinery.
You can visit us online at parishtractor.com. You can also scroll to the top of the toolbar there. There'll be a pre-owned page there. You can scroll through all of our used inventory that we've traded in, wide variety of stuff there. But we're right here at Parish Tractor in Robertsdale, right here on Highway 59 in the middle of town. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays 8 until noon. Or you can give us a call at 251-947-4171.
Hey, thank you, Blaine.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. There's Blaine at Parish Tractor. Check them out soon. I will be over there very soon. All right. A couple things here before we get to the news. This from WKRG, heads up. It's another day, another scam out there. MPD officers warning the public about a scam involving the impersonation of their department. Now, this is different than the... Remember we had the stories, we had a big story too about somebody pretending to be an officer and pulling people over? This is not that, but it says, according to the news release from MPD, the scammers out there are spoofing the phone number, their phone number, so it's coming up as, you know, we tell you to be suspicious of everything, right? But it's coming up as MPD. You know, but listen, the spoofing thing, I get so many spam calls just because it says something on there, right? Y'all know not to trust that, but it says, according to the MPD news release, the scammers are spoofing MPD phone numbers and asking people on the other end of the call to pay an outstanding fee from MPD. They said that's not how they operate. They said, please know our officers will never call you to collect any payment over the phone. End quote. Said officials stated in the latest scam attempt, scammer told a woman she had an outstanding fee that needed to be paid and informed her that she could verify the phone number using Google, which showed an MPD number. The scammer then allegedly gave a woman a second phone number to call to pay the fines. Officials advise residents to be cautious if they receive a call. So, I mean, that's the tough thing, right? It used to be, well, because I would tell somebody, like, well, go Google it and see if that's their phone number. But it shows up as their phone number, even though that's who you're not getting the call from. So, I mean, y'all probably know that. You know to be suspicious. But maybe, just maybe, let other family members know. Was it more, maybe, old, I'm not going to say older family. Let family members that need to know about this. Okay. Fair enough. Let's see the text line here. Back to our conversation from last hour. Ultra Runner said transparency. I like this. Transparency is the midwife of trust. Thank you for the explanation. Also, government should red team big events like the private sector does. Yeah. Talking about the what happened on the runoff here. And I did appreciate that. From Judge Irwin to talk about, like, here are the things that happened. The one thing that really stood out to me, and if you didn't hear the interview last hour, go back and check out the podcast. that a time frame, so June, so this, it doesn't explain everything that happened here, but one of them does get explained that, so the state updates the voter rolls, goes through this audit every 4 years. The state then sends the new information, it audited, I think he said 400,000 flags came up in their audit. Letters went out to the people, 200,000 people responded and said, okay, I really do live here, X, Y, and Z. 200,000 did not. All right. So they send that list to all the cities having the election. Well, the city of Mobile uploaded their information to the 10X voting system on the 20th of June, and they didn't update it after they got the state's information on the 29th. So explain some of it, and I appreciate this time. Go back and check out the podcast. News is next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 134 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. This segment of the show brought to you by Adventure Earth Bicycles. That's my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. And yes, he... I don't want to push past the fact that he has at least 400 of what he calls the Amish bikes in stock at any time, the non-electric bikes. He's got those great selection, too, for your kids, for grown-ups, for on-road. By the way, if you've been riding, like, road bikes and kind of like, I don't want to ride on the, you know, where the cars are, there's a new line of bikes. I don't know how, to me it was new, probably a couple years old, called gravel bikes. And that's what Clint actually rides. They're good for if you're trying to stay on the dirt roads, the gravel roads, stay out of traffic. They have a lot of the same components as a on-road, like a 10-speed bike, but they have a little bigger tire, not like an off-road tire, but a little bigger tire, and rides those roads a lot better. Those are super popular. But as always, the e-bikes, a big, big story here, 75 plus in stock at any time. And on their website, if you go to adventure-earth.com, there's like a guide there. Now, I've been talking to you about how he has them for whether you're on-road, off-road, hybrid, or whatever, but he's got like a educational, and you can go there and like, what motor do you need? What battery size do you need? You know, what kind of suspension do you need? You can go through there, figure out what's right for you, and find the bike that you want to come in and test ride. Although, the fun is just go in there and test ride two or three because he'll let you. He's at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, kind of catty-cornered across from Ruth's Chris, and you can see him online. Take that little quiz, or not even quiz, just education on the e-bikes on their website, adventure-earth.com, Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. All right, y'all say hello to Spence Harrison, back in the studio for the second time. God, it's been some years since you've been in here. Good to see you.
Yeah, well, I think the last time it was a phone call interview.
Yeah, okay. So
first time here.
First time in the studio.
Yeah.
All right, well, good to see you in here. Obviously, you know, people have been keeping up with this story. Your name's been out there related to the foxes on Dauphin Island for a long time before lately. But, of course, now the stories have gotten bigger with the removal plans of the foxes from Dauphin Island.
Right.
So let's, first of all, I will give you the mic for a second. Lay out your case here, what you feel should happen, what shouldn't happen.
Well, once I got a call September 2nd about there was plans for the town council to put it on their agenda about the to have the fox situation looked at again, and I heard that they were ready to give their Department of Agriculture, Department of Wildlife and Services, give them the guys that are going to take care of the predators on the West End, mm-hmm. they were going to give them the okay to go ahead and begin their plan and to go out there and start clearing the area of all the predators, which they say are the red foxes, the gray foxes. I've never seen a gray fox on the island.
Right.
Nutria, coyotes, possums, bobcats, whatever. They wanted to remove all these, and by removing, you know, we're talking about leg trapping and several other means of trapping them, mm-hmm. and then coming back that next morning and locating them. If you got one, they were going to euthanize it with one of their methods is a firearm and a bullet to the head.
Right, right. So they would trap it in a leg hold trap. Come back and then kill the fox mm-hmm. or the other predator. In this case, so we talk about the fox at Dauphin Island. This comes from a plan that was agreed to, right? By the and it's to deal with it was money, give federal money that says, hey, we're going to preserve an area for bird nesting and sea turtles, right?
Right.
So this was part of a management plan, I guess, that was agreed to.
Yeah, it was a management plan that a couple of years ago they decided to put into place, and there was a lot of upheaval. I got on several news medias and put a lot of heat on them with the mayor and the Department of Natural Resources, the conduit between the Deepwater Horizon people, Alabama trustees, and the Dolphin Island people. Miss Amy Hunter put a lot of pressure on them to maybe give this a break and try and find some kind of solution, some
alternate,
kind of compromise.
Right. Well, they had talked about some alternate ideas here to keep the foxes out of the sea turtle nest,
right,
or away from them.
They were going to do like the taste version. They were going to try that, and they were going to try the fencing method around the plover nest and the ground nesting bird eggs.
And that didn't work.
Well, according to the...
I know the taste aversion thing, I think I read through that didn't seem to...
Well, we don't know if they did that the full 28 days that they were supposed to. We'd like to see the methods that they've used, the actual site methods, and make sure they did them correctly and, long enough to dissuade, the foxes from eating the eggs when the plovers did lay their eggs. But the Alabama Audubon said last year was a great year for them, that the plovers, they got several plovers that fledged, and they were ecstatic about that, to where the year before, I think it was the year before in 24 or 23, I think one of those years they had a washover that kind of screwed up the nesting for the turtles and the plovers, but the... that they had a really good year in 25 using, I believe, the fencing method for the plovers.
Okay, so and we're talking about there. If you all think about plovers and these are birds that nest on the ground. They don't nest up in trees, not a dove or cardinal or something like that. So they're nesting on the ground. It's why certain areas, I think about Little Dolphin Island, those places where really not allowed to camp on and walk on, and you have areas you stay out of because of the bird nesting. And the taste version is only what I read through, so I didn't read through the fencing one. So, and specifically, too, this idea is to protect these. This is the one place that, these ground nesting birds need barrier islands, small islands. They don't go, they don't come up into, away from the shore to nest, right? They need that kind of open area.
Yeah, and they nest on, they nest at Petty Boy, they nest at Dolphin Island, they nest on the new areas that they put out across from Dolphin Island, Little Dolphin Island,
right? Yeah, like sandy, flat,
you get shells, and you get sandy beach area, a little bit upland from the shoreline.
Yeah, not right down on the water, but if you you're walking, you'll see. Believe me, if you ever get close to them, they'll let you know.
Oh, yeah, they will bomb you.
Yeah, you're getting too close. Okay, so this is the idea to protect these, and then sea turtle nests too. That the idea here that red foxes were taken. Were they digging up the eggs or getting the baby sea turtles since they went to the water?
No, well, they say they were digging up the eggs, but they, when they save the beach, people find the nest because they go out every morning at dawn and several times during the night to look for nests. And whenever they find a nest, they put a predator guard on there, which is a wooden frame with a wire gauge fencing with openings big enough for the turtles, hatchlings, to be able to come out and escape. And they had a picture, the lawyers had a picture in court the other day of a fox sitting on top of the sea turtle nest. He's waiting for them to hatch. He's gonna probably have to wait for 30 days or so, for whatever the gestation period for the turtles to,
right,
so in the nest, it showed a little bit of digging, but he hadn't gone through the predator guard. So that's kind of a, they say, they're predating the nest, but if they put the predator guards on there, 9 times out of 10, those things hold and they're not able to dig through them.
In your opinion, Spence, then if it's not a compensatory, problem here for the reproduction of plovers and sea turtles, then why would they be interested in removing them? Because I've looked at it simply for me is like, if this is the one place And I like, you know, I mean, foxes are just doing fox stuff. Roxy and all of them just doing fox stuff. Mm-hmm. Sea turtles are just doing sea turtle stuff. Plovers are just doing, we're all doing what God told them to do. Like some are, we don't eat, you know, we eat fish. Some eat critters and fish. Some eat, you know, so they're all doing what they, if it's not causing a problem, what do you think their motivation would be to eradicate them, to kill them off?
Well, they had this study, you know, the study paid for by the Deepwater Horizon people, that, and that's what their scientists came up with, that these predators have to be removed amongst the other predators to give them a good chance of the plovers and ground nesting birds to survive.
Okay. But,
and then we heard, you know, we've got the work order that shows, you know, that they gave them, the Department of Agriculture people, the authority to go out there and remove these species. And but now, when this got on the news and all, the mayor was saying that, well, we're not going to get rid of all of them. We're going to get rid of a certain number of them, you know, to
I heard the
try to get a balance.
Yeah, the management plan, they said, would be west from the West End Beach parking lot down. So, which, you know, I don't know, the fox is not going to, the foxes on the East End are not going to know that there's a line there, but that's a discussion for all y'all to have, you know, whether
yeah,
you
keep, any of those can migrate further down.
Sure, they could do. But what about the, I mean, it's, the red fox has gotten all the attention, and I would argue it gets attention through your photographs, but they're a charismatic critter.
Sure.
But there are other critters named here in the city. You just went through them. Do you have a problem with those being removed, the other critters?
Well, I mean, they call them invasive species, and they call, you know,
the nutria for sure. Nutria for sure. They don't belong here. We brought them from South America. That's
right,
a problem.
Right. Well, no, I don't really have a problem, and I can, you know, I can see their point. But then they, you know, they say they're going to remove a certain amount of the foxes to get a balance to where to be beneficial for the foxes and the plovers to kind of.
I mean, would we have? I mean, that's the thing. Has there been studies out? I could guess, but it would be a study out that says, With no foxes on the West End, what would the production of plovers and sea turtles be? Mm-hmm. And with foxes, what is it? You know,
well,
like a,
no, and for one thing, they
would
don't
it
know
be
how
increased
many foxes
by
are on the island.
Hmm?
They don't know how many foxes are
right
on the island. That's one thing. So how can you kill a certain amount of foxes and you don't have the
how many
the
do you think how many do you think
are
there
on there?
How many? I mean, you got more time with them than anybody. How many do you think are on the island?
As far as the West End, I mean, I've only gone a couple of miles down from the parking lot, and I only know by word of mouth that, you know, fishermen that are pulled up down at the end and all that, and sometimes release their dogs or something, and the dogs go, you know, find the nest and whatever. But there might be 15 or 20 of them down, you know, from the 8 miles down from
I camp
parking
out,
lot down.
I boat camp on the West End of Dolphin, and I see foxes, not every time or anything, but you cut tracks every time. I was just wondering what the total, you know,
well,
amount.
I have no idea, and they have no idea. So how can they decide, well, we're going to kill X amount and we're going to start tomorrow? How can they decide how many to kill if they don't know how many there are out there?
Right, and I have not seen if there's any gauge of the number here. But the question is, too, who has the rights to them, right? And this is, I think, a fair question to ask, like, who gets the decision? Because critters, like, for example, like, I live on a farm. We got deer all over the farm. But those deer are on our private property, but they don't belong to me. They belong to the people of the state of Alabama, right? So who gets to make, that's one of the questions I have, who gets to make the decision?
Well, that's the
because I mean, if
probably the Department of Natural Resources, the
right.
Amy Hunter, because she's the one that delayed it last year, so she probably has a lot of pull in this. And then, you know, the study said to do this, you know, to get rid of them, and so with Amy Hunter and the study, the people that did the study saying to get rid of them, Jeff is kind of in a no-win situation because there's grant money involved.
It's compelled to
there's
do
the
this,
grant
right?
money involved, and if they don't,
and this
dot
was
their
known though years ago,
keys, they might lose their grant money. So.
Right. Well, that's where we get to a little bit, Spence. This has been. It's not like this just showed up on the books. This has been part of the plan.
Sure.
From what years ago?
Yeah, a couple of years. This came to kind of a head, but they've been doing their studies for several years to develop all this data. To where they decided that the foxes weren't native And they've been trying to get rid of them before that anyway, the birding lobby and the turtle lobby. So since they're not native, let's get rid of them along with all the other predators, and the plover and the other nesting, ground nesting birds and turtles will take off.
Okay. And I mean, I'll throw this into, we'll go to the break and come back more Spence Harrison, but I mean, also I could make an argument like I have before here, and I know I'm getting ready for the angry emails, but cats that are on inside kill a lot of birds. Oh, yeah.
Well, and also birds that, you know, when they hatch, when those turtles hatch, it's free range for, you know, the seagulls know what's going on.
Yeah, the seagulls just rodeo. Doing seagull stuff.
And they will come down and pick off. And then when one comes down, it's like throwing up a french fry. You know, when one of them sees a bird going down, you know, it's 50 of them, it's 100 of them.
Hey, coming right back. Laura Spence Harrison, we'll get your text as well.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 151 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. All September long, great deals going on your service parts and your service, 15% off. And check that out. In addition to, if you do your own work on the boat, you're looking for the parts for your boat, they got a great selection. Force and the gang have it there. You just call with the serial number of your engine, say, hey, here's the part I need. They go, okay, I'll be waiting for you. It's pretty easy. And while I'm at it, on the other side of it, we talk about service so much because they're doing so much of it at Blue Water Yacht Sales. But let's talk about the sales for a second. If y'all have not seen, if you're fiberglass freaks like I am, Regulator has the brand new 30XO out. So the XO series from Regulator, that's that hybrid bay golf boat. And the new 30 is unbelievable. And right now, you take advantage of $10,000 in factory rebates on this. This goes through November 14th. So come out, check out that boat. It is gorgeous, and get your name on the list. Now, you could do that in person. That's the most fun. They're at Orange Beach Marina and on the East I-65 Service Road, and online at bluewateryachtsales.net. Go see Forrest and the gang today. All right, continue our conversation. Spence Harrison, he is, you made the foxes of Dauphin Island famous, I would say. People will critique that you have broken down their wild nature, right? That you've, in spending so much time with Roxy and all that, that the foxes have become more not scared of people.
Well, they talk about the foxes, you know, and we're talking about an area from, from the parking lot to 8 miles down. I've only gone about, maybe a mile and a half down the beach, and how word got out about me down to the 8 miles down through the Coconut Telegraph or the Fox Telegraph. I don't see how that can happen. We're talking about one fox that has been fed by fishermen before I even got on the scene, fed by fishermen, people that had drove up on the parking lot and just mosey around, because she'll come up to people. She's used to being given treats by people. You know, this is long before I came on the scene.
Which I'll say in general, not specifically to you, but y'all don't do that because, you know, we talk about it with what happens with alligators, right? You feed them, they get to be a problem. Bears get to be a problem. Those kind of things when they quit doing straight nature stuff and don't see us as something to run away from. But in general, what do you want to see happen here? I mean, is there a third solution versus killing them all or not touching the population and losing the grant? What would you say? Is there a third way?
You talk about the feral cat problem. The town uses Deepwater Horizon money with the Cat Coalition. The Cat Coalition goes out there and they trap so many cats. They're allotted like $8,000 a year to have the cats caught and fixed and then put back out and all that, you know, and then their population is going to, of course, dwindle down to, theoretically zero. But
what about foxes? Would you be for that?
That's my next question, and that's one that I asked the mayor about. I emailed him and said, hey, you know what? Y'all are doing this for the feral cats. Why can't y'all do that for the foxes? And he said, hey, that sounds like a good idea. I'll run it by the wildlife services people and all that. And I never heard never heard anything. I mean, that's a good solution. That way, I mean, the fox population will dwindle down. You know, you got the Deepwater Horizon pot of money that you're paying, you know, you're doing boo-koodles of things, you know, the causeway and everything around the island and elsewhere. Use some of this money, because they only used 5,000 out of the 8,000 last year. You know, use some of this money to humanely trap them and neuter, spay, whatever, and do the same thing. And that way their numbers will dwindle down. And while they're dwindling down, the plovers will come up.
Okay. So you there's a in your mind, it doesn't have to be holy, don't touch them at all.
No, and it can also be, you know, keep using the fencing methods, because that's been proven to work. Even though the sand crabs can go underneath there and they can predate them, and the seagulls can come down, they can predate them. But do that taste aversion method and do it for the 28 consecutive days that you're supposed to do it to have it effectively work. It's a conditioned response thing. If you do it, you know, 3 or 4 days, you know, and, you know, later on they'll say, well, heck, I'll try this again, you know, and then when the plovers lay their eggs, they'll go over there and hit them again. So the 28 days gives them enough reinforcement to where it might be ingrained in their heads to just leave these plover eggs that look just like these quail eggs alone.
Okay. So there could be and I would say if you did the fixing, you spayed them or neutered them, you wouldn't have a new generation that didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my worries here looking at it is that we're going to go and make wildlife policy based on lawsuits, right? That's like one of, like, this has happened elsewhere. It happened in the state of Alabama with some of the things that go on, versus saying, what do the scientists say, right? That's always my rub here. What do the scientists say? What's the best?
Well, we know how science has been lately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can say that. I think if there is some way to have these two things happen, but I think it is important, since it's a limited place where sea turtles can do their thing, he and then she in and making babies, and the limited place where the plovers can be, we have to take that into account, right? That is a crucial habitat.
Sure.
Because they can't move anywhere else. There's not sea turtles in Washington County doing it. So how do we balance that?
Well, and there again, you know, when done correctly with the sea turtles, if they find those nests early enough, and a lot of times they do, and they install those predator guards, it's a moot point. But in other times, you know, they can't find them, you know, early enough, and the fox will find them, sniff them out before, you know, and they'll predate the eggs, and that's, you know, that's part of the food chain there.
Okay. Before we wrap up, you got a court date coming up. You said it's
supposed to, it was a continuance that they the lawyers on for the town of Dauphin Isle wanted a continuance for whatever reason, gather info or whatever. And it's supposed to be on the 24th. And then I think the judge was saying, well, 24th, we might have to wiggle that to a little bit later, or it's going to be somewhere.
Okay, so the end of this next month here.
Yeah. Well, the end of, the next month.
All right, we'll talk to you before then. People want to reach out to you online. How do they do it?
Well, just look on Facebook, Spence Harrison. It'll be the, it's not the Spence Harrison Photography, it's just the Spence Harrison Facebook page.
Okay.
There'll be a big old foxes, or a fox's big old face in the camera in a wave, because I take a lot of surf photography. So
good stuff.
I'm easy to find on.
All right, Spence, I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Thank you, Sean.